the Premier League on OTB.
Rashford thinks it into Cavani! Edison Cavani wins it!
Exclusive Premier League live commentaries every Sunday. The very best expert analysis on your phone and for free. Download the OTB Sports app now.
And now we've got 20 seconds remaining in the game. This is amazing. The ball played to Sean Ennis. Meade are on the brink. It comes as far as Sean Ennis again, the Meade captain. She'll be receiving the Brendan Martin Cup. It comes to Emma Troy, to Emma Dolan. It's there. It's there. The Hooner. The Hooner is going. Meade are All-Ireland champions. This is the most amazing story I remember in sport. Meade win the intermediate last December, and now they're the All-Ireland senior champions. This is amazing stuff. They're going to receive the cup. Sean Ennis will captain them. They're going absolutely bananas out on the field. Meade supporters are going wild. They've won it by 2 points. 10-1 outsiders in a game. There were outsiders against Cork. There were outsiders against Armagh. But they are the champions.
Absolutely, they are the champions. The women of Meath, All-Ireland football champions for 2021 at senior grade. And that was the sound of Brendan Cummins on LMFM calling the gripping closing stages of yesterday's final at Croke Park. And here is the victorious manager, Eamon Murray, speaking to Ratoats own Aisling O'Reilly.
They always talk about, I love open football, let girls enjoy their football, go out and express your brilliant talents you have, and let them play. Don't try to stop that. And the cream came to the top today. Our system works, thank God, and it's going to be weird starting out next year. I don't know what's going to happen with Division 1 and senior champions and all that, but like, unbelievable year, not a year at all. It's 9 months, we won 3 cups. Yeah. Think of that 9 months, we had to stay at home for 3 or 4 months to off it, so...
And you said as well, the girls came back nearly fitter after the lockdown.
That made this year, it made things very easy for us. They went off for 3 or 4 months on their own and they got back in unbelievable. Imagine better shape than winning the All-Ireland. And that goes down to Eugene Evers again. Like, he has them. They all love Eugene, and so does Sean. He's doing a brilliant job. He's so into it. And all the coaches are. They're really into it. They don't leave anything unturned. Not only a stone unturned, but it's all... We have that coaching staff now that we can just... we all do our job. My job's easy. And the players are the same. If one of them players don't play to their full potential, the team will fall apart.
Yeah.
Well, we're the same. If one of us doesn't do our job right, look at Paddy's goalkeeping coach, 2 All-Stars she has already. So maybe another one on the way. So his job is done perfect.
There you go. That's Meath manager Eamon Murray speaking after yesterday's 111-12 point victory over Dublin, which saw Meath become the first team since 2004, other than Cork or Dublin, to lift the Brendan Martin Cup. A hell of an achievement, a remarkable day. And I'm delighted to say two of the main protagonists join us on the line. The victorious goalkeeper, Monica McGurk, is there. And also we've got player of the match as well, Vicky Wall. Welcome both of you to the show. And first of all, congratulations. Monica, try and sum up the last 24 hours if you can.
Oh, it's just been a whirlwind of 24 hours. It's been absolutely fantastic, day and experience for us. You know, I suppose going up there as the underdogs was massive for us. And, you know, they thought, you know, we weren't going to win. We were just going up to compete and see what happens, you know. And, you know, Dublin put it up to us. You know, it was, I think Shauna said yesterday, it was one of the toughest games we've ever played. And that it was, you know, it was absolutely fantastic. And, you know, to say now that we're senior All-Ireland champions in less than 12 months, you know, playing the intermediate in December and then going on to winning the senior in September, it's stuff dreams are made of. But, absolutely, just over the moon, you know, dream come true kind of stuff for the whole team. And yeah, we're absolutely delighted.
Vicky, you kind of set the template, I guess, yesterday with that winning the original throw-in, bursting forward through the Dublin defence and then getting the foul from which Stacey Grimes picked up the first point of the match. That seemed like almost a predetermined kind of thing, that if you're going to get the ball, make sure you ran at the Dublin defence, make sure you tested their legs early. Was that the case?
Yeah, look, I suppose it was and it wasn't. I suppose the throw can change fairly quickly. You know, you have your tactics for them, but they don't always work out. But yeah, look, I suppose it was something that we were we were trying to get was we wanted the first to be the first one to have the score on the board, and I suppose Stacey is definitely a safe free taker, so I was absolutely delighted that we were able to get it, and I think it kind of settled us down a little bit.
Tell us about that status of underdogs. I mean, Monica mentioned it there. Clearly it was the main talk as regards how Meath were framed going into yesterday's final, and that's understandable. You're going up against a team who's played in the last 7 All-Ireland finals. They've won the last 4 of them. They are an incredible unit and have proved to be so over the course of the majority of the last decade, if not more. Monica, tell us a little bit about how you kind of saw yourselves going into that game.
Look, I suppose, you know, just because we were playing Dublin, we weren't going to go out of our way and change our tactics. We stuck to our game plan, the way we've been playing all season. It stood to us so far, you know, and got us to an All-Ireland senior final. So just because we were going to play Dublin, we weren't going to start changing how we play or how we set up any of our tactics, or that it was going to be, you know, the toughest game we've ever played. So we needed to make sure that our tactics and our setups and our plays were, you know, were perfection yesterday. And, like, you know, I suppose looking back on it now, there was a few little mistakes here and there, but, you know, I suppose our plays and our setup paid off yesterday, so they did. So I suppose, like I was saying, nothing changed for us going into Dublin. You know, we just obviously had to put our plays into place and get the best outcome from them.
Yeah, Vicky, turning to you, like, this seemed to be something that was born of, I want to say, last December, because, you know, obviously winning the Intermediate Championship as you did last December, there is a sense that going up into, you know, into senior ranks, it might be a bit of a bridge too far. I get the impression, Vicky, that that wasn't the case with this Meath side, that there was a confidence given how you went through that Intermediate Championship that suggested that you could at least ask questions of some of the bigger names in the Senior Championship this year round. Was that the case? Was it spoken about immediately afterwards, after you won the Cup back in December, or was it something that it took a little bit later to come towards?
Yeah, look, I suppose it definitely was talking about, maybe about not in too of a professional manner, but I think, yeah, like, Intermediate is a very sticky one to get out of, and even this year, like, Westmeath came out on top, but like, they had some tough games to get where they got in the final, and I know, look, they came out strong winners on the day, but even for us, like, Intermediate, it took us a few years to get out of it, and I know I could hold my hands up when we got the opportunity to kind of present ourselves to go back to Intermediate. I was against it. I know I voted against going back down to Intermediate a few years ago, but in hindsight, it's the best thing that we ever did as a county. You know, it got us back together, and it got us back a bit more confident, and we were able to win a few games, and I suppose kind of build on that. And then I'll, like, when you're winning games, and even getting to the All-Irelands in 2018, 2019, although we didn't win them, I think we got a bit more interest and passion back in ladies football in Meath. So I suppose that definitely drove us on, and just the underage in Meath football, I think, has definitely driven us on as well. And yeah, I think as the year kind of got on, the dream of an All-Ireland final kind of didn't seem so distant, didn't seem so unattainable as we kind of kept going through. And like you say, that underdog tag, but I suppose we loved it. Like, we were able to acknowledge it, but also, like, know how hard we were working in the background. And if the media wants to give you that tag, that's a dream come true. Do you know that kind of way?
It seems like on both of those fronts that you're giving yourselves and affording yourselves a little bit of breathing room by giving yourself the drop down to Intermediate football. You're kind of getting a chance to gather yourselves. It's almost like going to your corner, I guess, between rounds in a boxing match. And similarly, coming in as underdogs, I mean, like, nobody's talking about you coming in there. Like, everything, both, if you look at it, the men's, everything was about who's going to stop Dublin, or are Dublin going to win yet another All-Ireland. Similarly in the women's, they've come through the last 4 finals victorious, and everybody's wondering, oh, are they going to win 5 in a row? And you're kind of viewed from the outside looking in as a stepping stone, and that's a brilliant thing to be able to use as grist to the mill, I suppose.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. I suppose a few things, let's say, in the media this week, and the word luck and lucky of us being there kind of thrown out definitely didn't sit well with me anyway. I think, you know, we had to beat some serious teams to get where we got. Like, even the likes of Armagh, like, I mean, they are a serious outfit, and you look, they put it up to Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final last year. So I think we've proved ourselves this year, and I suppose, like you say, like, it was easier for us to accept that underdog target and keep training away and knowing how hard and how good of a team we had. So I suppose it probably reduced the pressure in some way.
How easy did Eamon make it to kind of revel in that underdog status? He was on with us, I think, on AM last week, and he was talking in the lead into the final about, you know, he was almost talking about it as if it was being an experience, but I took it from the way he was speaking that he was putting up a little bit of a front to us while he might have been telling ye something different. Am I way off base there? Or?
I don't know. I suppose Eamon's such a character, and he's some man for a one-liner in an interview, you know, that kind of way. So he wasn't going up to Dublin to do the shopping, as you were saying. So, look, I suppose that's just Eamon, as in, like, he's just such a positive man that I don't think anything he ever says is 100% thought true, which is what we all love about him. He's a very, very honest man, and I think that came across well in his interview as well, in all the interviews he did during the week. But to us, like, he's just been like he's like Michelle and Eamon on the team, or he's like literally a father figure to all of us, and he helps out so much. And like, he is, I don't think you can overlook like the importance that he's played in this team, and the fact that he got so many of these girls back in. So yeah, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, he mentioned in the interview with Aisling there that, you know, he's been working with a lot of you from a very young age, from the age of 12 in some instances. I mean, that's a huge thing, and it's huge to be able to have that level of trust in somebody who's able to, you know, get the best of your abilities and able to match his own abilities, and then build a coaching staff as well who can, he mentions, like, if one piece fails, then the kind of whole team falls down. So to have that in the back of your mind that this is a machine and everybody is working towards the same goal, and he's been brilliant in instilling that mentality in the side.
Yeah, and I think he underestimates himself in that machine as well. You know, he's a huge part of it. You know, like, just even the crack he has with all of us at training, and just even like lifting our spirits, and he's the best of crack on any day, like win, lose or draw. And just the amount of work that he's done in underage football and Meath, like, as in, it's just, I don't think people realise, like, and he's taken on teams that were going nowhere and brought them huge faces. So he's a serious piece of stuff.
Yeah, he absolutely is. And he's, in his interview as well, he was really he really wanted to give praise to absolutely everybody but himself. There wasn't somebody who went unname checked, which is remarkable. Like, he's managed to offer praise to absolutely everybody in the team, and it kind of, I guess, it shows the familial effort that this was.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose for Eamon and a few other people on the team, you know, they've been through some tough times in the last years with family things and stuff like that. So I suppose for Eamon, like, his life has always been football, and I think this year it's been a great escape for him and his family, and just for everyone on the team. I suppose even during tough COVID times, it was something to keep a focus on, and something positive in all of the negative kind of times.
Yeah, we'll touch on that. Like, for people who don't know, like, Eamon, one of his daughters has been struggling with cancer over the last while, and she obviously would have been no stranger to ye and the rest of the team.
No, not at all. Eamon would have been involved with us when I was a minor. She was one of our managers and mentors, and I suppose we would have played against her club level, and she's just a phenomenal human. She's a teacher here in Trim, I think, and she's unbelievable. And just, I think anyone that knows the Murray family just knows the extent that the people that they are, and even they're the first people to come up and congratulate you after a match, even if you've had the worst game of your life. So they're an unbelievable family.
Yeah. Have you managed to take in the impact that this is going to have on Meath GAA as a whole? Because, like, if we're being honest, like, a Chrissy Ring aside, it's been slim pickings for Meath football and Meath hurling over the course of the last 20 years. Like, my dad was from Meath, and I was raised a Meath supporter, even though it was, you know, in the enclave of Blanchardstown. And yeah, like, the first thing you want to do, like, of course, you wasn't able to, but the first thing you want to do is call your parents and go, did you see the match? And the boost that this is going to give absolutely everybody in the county. I mean, this isn't just a women's football thing anymore. This is Meath as a county and raising all boats in the county now.
Yeah, but like you said, it's not just, I think, that the term kind of the women's football as well. Like, I just think, like, everyone in the county has come on board. Like, it doesn't matter whether they're, like, they've grown up a men's supporter or a women's supporter, and if they've seen All-Ireland, if they've seen Sean Boylan at the helm of all, I think everyone just has such respect for us, and I think we definitely felt that. And just even the support we had this week, and not even just this week, in the last few years, has just been unbelievable. And like you said, like, if you want to go back and you want to celebrate with your family straight away, and I'm buzzing to go back up to club training, even just to be with the girls and some boys, like, yeah, the people that we've grown up with and played football with, and, like, even for them it's huge. And the amount of people we saw yesterday at the match, like, it was just unbelievable. Like, I don't think it's fully sunk in yet, but I just think even the amount of young girls and boys in Croke Park yesterday wearing the Meath ladies jersey, let's say, rather than the men's jersey, to me is just, I just think it's unbelievable.
Yeah, the profile particularly of the women's final over the course of the last 15 years, I'm going to say 10-15 years, has definitely improved and it's a more visible thing, and that's brilliant. But what we also needed, I guess, was for it to be spread among more counties, and for Meath to have broken that hegemony of Dublin and Cork that we've had for the past 16 years. Like, that's a huge thing as well, to show that this is possible in something other than the big counties.
Yeah, and I think that's true. And I suppose I would have got some unbelievable messages from girls who played across the year from different clubs and counties and stuff like that. So I suppose, like you said, I think people are delighted to have seen our journey and stuff like that, and to realise that maybe it's not too far for their counties as well. I think, like, when I first started playing football, it was for me, it was something that I dreamed of but thought was probably not going to be in my lifetime of playing on the team. I thought it would maybe be the next generation below me. I honestly, when we first started playing, it was just horrendous. So I suppose to be here now in such a, maybe, like, it is a short time frame, and the fact that it's 5 or 6 years, like, that's not, in hindsight, that's not really too long. So I suppose it's just unbelievable. And even just for ladies and women in Meath, like Jenny Rispin and Claire Doherty, you know, the people I was speaking to last night that have given 10, 12, 15 years to a Meath jersey and maybe didn't see the same success we have, it's just unbelievable for them as well.
Yeah, and their input is no less kind of important as well in how they brought the Meath journey along over that course of the last two decades.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Jenny Rispin is someone who played for Meath for literally I don't know how long, and she stood in as our interim manager against that match in Cork in 2015. And, you know, like, as in, she didn't have to be asked twice. She just slotted into that role straight away. And yeah, it was a terrible day. It was horrendous. But as in, that's the type of person Jenny is. And she's just like, there's so many other people that I'm not even mentioning that just, like, have given so much to me ladies football. And I think everyone is kind of relishing this, living this dream with us.
How are you going to get to celebrate it? Because obviously we're living in a COVID world and things are slightly different. But how have you managed so far to celebrate this? And what are your plans particularly? And what are the team's plans for the next, I'd say, week or so, I guess, because you can live off this for a while yet.
We'll milk a good few weeks out of this now, I'd say. look, our main plans will be outdoor pub gardens. We'll be grand. We'll make do with what we have. It's much better than the circumstances, I suppose, we were in last December. I think we got one day of celebrating and the pub's closed. So I suppose we're happy.
Eamon mentioned there about the lockdown again, like at the start of the year, impinging on things, and the fact that y'all came back fitter. Like, that's a remarkable thing. Like, did you go away with your own programs? Was it an individually led thing? You mentioned your fitness coach there obviously would have helped things along. Give us an insight into that if you can.
Yeah, when I say, like, Eugene Evers, I can't speak highly of him or highly enough of him. He's just unbelievable. We all had our own individual plans, and I suppose I would have been in contact with Eugene a good bit, kind of just tweaking things and saying, like, what I wanted to do as a player and what I wanted to improve on. You know, kind of didn't know how long we'd have, but we ended up having from January to April. So I suppose that was 4 months where we literally just got to improve things ourselves as players. And we did the odd, we did a good few fitness tests and stuff like that, but it was never a case of you're going to get hounded for how you're doing. It was kind of just see our own times improving. And even just for people coming in, seeing 2-3 minutes knocked off their times from January to April, I think that's unbelievable progress. And just the relationship he has with everyone, like, he's such an approachable person, and just like he's just unbelievable in the work he does, and it's always taped, and he always listens to how we're feeling. And if we're absolutely wrecked 1 week, he tapers it down. And if he feels that we deserve a hard running session, he absolutely gives us to it. So he's unbelievable.
It speaks to the culture in the team that everybody was able to improve during a time when I guess you're kind of like groping around in the dark. Like, nobody knew when we're going to essentially get to have, you know, collective team training again. We were waiting and waiting and waiting, and everybody was in the same boat. But to, you know, manage to come along and improve fitness levels across the board, that's something great.
It is, but I think the main thing was, like, there was a few players that I hadn't, like, new girls on the team this year that I honestly hadn't met until April. So we would have been on Zoom meetings all along from January to April, and I suppose something that we would have been hugely conscious of is, like, integrating people into the team. And, like, as a team, we're so close, so we were just so conscious of making sure that everyone felt so comfortable and so involved. And I think it's evident in, like, how much time we spent together and how close we are as a team. It's just everyone is literally, and it's so cliche to say, literally best friends in the team, but we spend literally every waking moment with each other, even if it's not training or football, like, as in, it's coffees or lunches or dinners, whatever we can do with the time, free time we have. So I suppose the last few months anyway, I think everyone else in our lives has got neglected but this team. So I suppose we're just Floyd.
One of those kind of newer names on the team, and it's one thing that's been, you know, I'm old enough to remember, like, when the men's team, one of their hallmarks and one of Sean's hallmarks with the team was blending the old with the new and bringing through new players without losing a step, essentially, without the team's progress being altered in any way. And one of those players come through is Emma Duggan. Like, you talk about, like, everybody obviously has their own individual journey towards the team, and everybody has their own approach to the year, and everybody has their own jobs and their life outside of football. Give us a sense of how she's been to manage a leave insert alongside an All-Ireland senior winning season with Meath. That is incredible.
Yeah, I think to the outside people and the people Emma meets in everyday situations, she comes across as very disciplined, and like, she absolutely is, but she's the best crack as well, and she's an old head on young shoulders. She's unbelievable. She would have been up before, even she was struggling with her knee for a while there, and it was up 6 o'clock every morning getting that recovery in, because she knew she wouldn't have time after school before training. And she just is unbelievable, and she knows when enough is enough, like some of us don't. But she's unbelievable, and she prioritises, I suppose, at different stages. And I remember she rang me before her. It was during her leave, so she played the first game a few days before us, and she'd won during it, and she's kind of saying, what would you do? And go on, just tell me what I was like. I was like, okay, I can't tell you what to do. I was like, you're going to have to make a decision yourself. But she just kind of wanted someone to tell her to play, so that she didn't have to be the one to tell her mom that she was playing during her leave, so I think. But she's unbelievable. She's one of a kind.
Yeah. Have you met her parents? Like, what did they make of all this?
Liam and Marie are just unbelievable, I suppose. Liam is, we always slag our dad, me and Dougie, just the fact that, like, you know, nobody can insult you. We've driven home from matches with our dad and stuff like that. So they're tough critics, but they've eased over the last few years, I suppose. Maybe we're getting a bit better that they don't have to be as critical. But Marie and Liam are just phenomenal as well, and they're great people. And I suppose the amount of effort they put into Emma and even her brothers and sisters and my dad is phenomenal, and I suppose it's unbelievable for them as well to be able to see her achievement at such high level.
Yeah, I'm sorry to have you do all the heavy lifting for this, because we did have Monica on the line, and her line just kind of failed. It's grand. I wasn't excluding her, I wasn't being rude, it's just her line dropped out there. But like, she had that moment as well in the first half, that brilliant save from Hannah Tyrrell. Like, there, you can point towards like moments in a match that are kind of almost intangible, but there are definite two tangibles in that game. There was the goal that managed to keep Dublin at arm's length for the duration then, and then there was that save as well from Monica. She's just been a revelation the last couple of years.
She's been outstanding, and I think you touched on it there, like, there was different moments, and I think all across the pitch yesterday, like, at different pivotal moments, different people stood up. Like, obviously when everyone has to do their job, everyone did their job, and I think that's what kind of got us across the line, you know, where like Aidan Cleary winning the serious amount of ball, and even clearing goal line balls and everything like that. And just when people needed to get a turnover or needed to get a block, or Stacey Grimes coming in, getting those scores, and even Neva Sullivan, who had all of us screaming not to pop the last one over, and she did tightest of angles and she popped it over, and Monica as well. Like, even when we're training, you're going in 1v1 and you're thinking, yeah, grand, and Monica just pulls out these unbelievable saves, and she just brings it to next level. And even, I suppose, Ali O'Sullivan, who's our subkeeper, is training with her, and it's just for the two of them, with Paddy Dowland, the goalkeeping coach. Like, they just have such crack together, and it's just like, you can see the improvements in all of them.
Yeah, we mentioned that, you know, this season and this win was essentially born a long time ago, not just yesterday against the Dubs, but obviously after in the wake of the intermediate final as well. It's difficult to look at what's next, but the aim would obviously be to go and build on this.
Yeah, what's next is right, but I suppose for me, football, I think it's a bigger picture, and I think like the even just the amount of people meeting these few days and like just keeping girls in it, I just think is huge. Like, I suppose 17, 18, 19, like just keeping those girls playing, and I suppose maybe this will drive people on to continue to see where you can achieve, and even if it's just playing for your club team or playing for a school team or college team, I just think it'll be huge just to kind of maybe keep girls in for it, and those numbers, if you can do anything at all, I think that'll be huge.
One of the loveliest moments I saw in the wake of the match, Vicky, as well, was you went over to the sideline, you went to the side of the stand, you got to meet your folks as well, and you know, you mentioned Sean Boylan earlier on. That just seemed like one of those mad meeting of generations moments. What did he have to say to you?
Oh, Sean is unbelievable. He's helped us out this year, I suppose. There's been a few occasions where knocks on the door at 6 o'clock in the morning. He's there to help us out in his surgery. So he's an absolute gent, and I suppose anyone to meet, you know, we can't speak highly enough of him. So I suppose, yeah, it was huge to see him after the match. And then I suppose maybe I was a bit dismissive. I was just looking for my own dad straight away. I was just like looking, trying to find him. But it was just class to watch that video about 500 times now, and it's unbelievable. And Sean and my dad both have just been unbelievable in having an effect on my career today, I suppose.
Yeah, well, listen, it was a remarkable day all round, and just congratulations to the whole team, Zayman and the management team and everything, and to the people in Meath as well. I don't think you can quantify the joy that you brought to the county with your efforts there yesterday, Vicky.
No, we can't. We're absolutely buzzing, and I suppose even all of our parents yesterday evening, and we got to sit down. We all watched the match, the team and the parents this morning together. So it was nice knowing how the ending went, but it was just unbelievable. They would come and enjoy it and just have a bit of crack, and for them as well to be able to really enjoy it and just soak it all in. It's just been huge.
I have a feeling you're going to know the choreography of this match like you would do a dance routine within like about 6 months. You're going to watch it back so often.
Yeah, in fact, we all had a few moments of it, knowing that a terrible pass or a terrible terrible decision was coming up, so you're looking away. And we watched Dougie's interview with TG Carr came on before the match, and sure, she left the room. She couldn't watch it. We're all having fear watching ourselves and hearing the sound of our own voices. So it was good crack.
Listen, get used to talking, because you're going to be doing plenty of it over the course of the next while. Vicky Wall, player of the match in yesterday's All Ireland Women's Football Final. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a million.
There you go, it's Vicky Wall. And we'll be talking to Breed Stack about that final on the way later.